Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. There was another leak at the highest levels of government today, and this one had the potential to really embarrass President Bush, but it didn't. You see, the president was giving what were supposed to be private remarks to Republican members of the House at a retreat in Maryland.
First of all, I expect this conversation we're about to have to stay in the room. I know that's impossible in Washington.
Turns out he was right about that because an audio technician had left the sound up after reporters had been shooed out of the room. So reporters listening in, perhaps hoping Bush would say something unintentionally revealing, only heard his by now familiar assertions that his warrantless wiretapping program was legal.
I asked it to the White House lawyers, and I asked it to the Justice Department lawyers. See, like you, I take my oath of office seriously. I swear to uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States.
And speaking of that warrantless wiretapping program, a federal judge said today that he's getting fed up with foot-dragging by the Justice Department. U.S. District Judge Henry Kennedy said he's considering setting a deadline for the Justice Department to produce records on the Bush administration's warrantless surveillance program or to explain in court why it's refusing to do so. He is presiding over a lawsuit filed over access to the documents. And Congress is having difficulty getting the same information. In response, a Justice Department lawyer said the government would respond starting March 3rd, but she said she had no information on when the whole process might be completed. It looks as if the Patriot Act is on its way to final congressional approval. House Speaker Dennis Hastert today gave his okay to compromise legislation that satisfied the dissenting Republicans who had joined in the filibuster with the Democrats several weeks ago and had delayed extension of the Patriot Act. The act, of course, gives federal agents expanded powers to investigate suspected terrorists in the United States. It is looked at askance by civil libertarians because they fear it goes too far. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid has also indicated that he will vote for the bill. And the kidnappers of American journalist Jill Carroll have reportedly made demands more specific than the release of all female Iraqi detainees. That's according to the owner of a Kuwaiti TV station who says the kidnappers contacted the station today with the demands. He refused to elaborate. According to the station, February 26th has now been set as a new deadline to kill Jill Carroll. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America. Thanks for joining us. It's about 7 past the hour. Yeah, it's Kevin Kenney night on The Malloy Show. Driving and crying, Kevin Kenney. That's the bumper music tonight. So hope you enjoy. We're also going to revisit the Katrina disaster tonight with some audio clips from today's Senate hearings, of course, featuring Michael Brown, private citizen and former FEMA chief and Arabian horse expert. And as a reminder, before we play the clips from today, which are astonishing, we'll play some sound from last August and September, right after Katrina hit the Gulf, just to put today's hearings in context, because we, including me, we have such a short memory in this country. We are designed, we are enculturated to have short memories. And there's so many Republican scandals to keep up with these days. We need the reminder of what was said last August and September to help us focus on what happened today. I know it's hard to keep track. Hell, it drives me crazy. Tom DeLay's crimes, Cheney's crimes, Abramoff's crimes and intimate relationship with George W. Bush, domestic spying, war, Boehner's election shenanigans. All of this stuff, it's overwhelming, and I know it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to me. Sometimes I just, when Friday rolls around, I just think, oh boy, 3 more hours, and then I have 2 days where I don't have to do anything except play with my kid, hang out with friends. I want to share with you right here at the beginning of the program a couple of examples of life in Bush's middle class America. It's not very pleasant. The first one is, this is from the Houston Chronicle of today, and it's about the ending of a nutrition program for old folks. All right? Now, this is in Bush's new budget, the one that he's had to cut a lot of stuff so that wealthy people can have their tax cuts. It's a box program. The boxes arrive every month at churches or senior citizen centers for distribution to nearly 500,000 elderly poor. Now, what's in the boxes? Each one has nutritious foods like cereal and peanut butter, fruit, vegetables, pasta. And sometimes, in the case of old folks who can't get to these pickup points, there are volunteers who drive the boxes right out to people's homes, okay? Now, Bush wants to eliminate the program. He's proposing to shift people. It's called the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, CSFP. He wants to end that program and force these old people over into food stamps. Now, in the first place, older folks are reluctant to sign up for food stamps because of a perceived stigma. The second place, how in the hell are they supposed to go someplace if they have no means of transportation, if they are stuck in their homes, if they use a walker, how are they supposed to go cash in the food stamp? First of all, go apply for them. Food stamps don't come to your house. You get a voucher, and here in Atlanta, you go to the post office. I believe it's still a post office, isn't it, Gary? They used to have, I think they have a sign at the post office we go to that says, if you have a food stamp voucher, it has to be cashed in on the 50. I don't know. I'm not sure how it works. But here's this program almost exclusively for older Americans who don't have enough money to eat. Jesus Christ. Wisconsin Senator Herb Cole, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Appropriations Agriculture Subcommittee that oversees this stuff, says it really does come under the category in the most extreme way of balancing the budget on the backs of those who are most needy. And in this case, it's not even balancing the budget. How do you justify doing something like this while at the same time giving huge tax cuts to the wealthy? How do you do that? How do you do that and not truly lose your own soul? How do you do that? Now, this program is run by the Agriculture Department. Most of the people who get these boxes of food are elderly people. Some new mothers and children also participate. This is not the Women's Infant Children Plan. This is not food stamps. This is a separate plan primarily for old people who don't have enough money to feed themselves. And this rotten son of a bitch, this sick bastard in the White House wants to cut it. Eliminate it. Well, put those old bastards over on food stamps. Sherry Tussler, who is the executive director of the Hunger Task Force, which administers the program in Milwaukee, said this commodity program helps elderly people stretch their food buying budget. Well, yeah, exactly. She says sometimes seniors are choosing between utility bills and prescription drugs and whether they get to eat. Yeah, in Bush's America, of course. Now, what Bush is proposing with these filthy, murderous, Nazi-like cuts is to provide the people who get these boxes now with transitional food stamp benefits of $20 a month for 6 months, or until the food recipients are deemed eligible for food stamps, whichever comes first. $20 a month. $5 a week, not even $5 a week, about $4.30 a week. about what? What is that per day? 65 cents? 65 cents a day for food. Sarah Mayak, who's 75, lives in Milwaukee, receives the food box and $10 a month for food stamps. She says, you try to stretch your budget a little bit. Without the food boxes, she said, I'd have to adjust, but I raised 11 children. I know how to cut corners. And to you, Christian, church-going Republicans, you folks who are constantly condemning people on welfare, let me remind you, this is not a welfare program. This is a nutritional assistance program. But in the Bush budget, it's gone. Son of a bitch. Here's the next one. This is from Missouri. This guy, Tracy Pierce, he's 37. He grew up with family and faith. He went to a Catholic school, got married, had a son, had the car of his dreams, had a good job, perfect life. His wife, Julie Pierce, says he's been strong. He has. 2 years ago, Tracy Pierce's life changed dramatically when he was diagnosed with kidney cancer. Now, he got interviewed by KMBC's Jim Flink in May of 2005, a little over a year ago. And in the interview, Tracy Pierce said, I have no treatment. 3 months has gone by. I haven't had any treatment. Why? Well, despite being fully insured, every treatment his doctor sought for him was denied by his insurance provider, First Health Coventry. They kept saying the treatments were either not a medical necessity or experimental. Tracy Pierce said last May, I don't know what else to do but just wait. Well, he waited, and his doctors appealed again and again, including a 27-page appeal spelling out that Tracy Pierce would die without care. And each time, First Health Coventry dismissed his request for treatment. Now, there's a guy named William Soper who leads a group of doctors who filed a lawsuit last year against insurance providers. And this week, Soper went to Jefferson City in Missouri to lobby legislators, the capital of Missouri, for change. And he says, it's purely economical. You never see an insurance company try to block an inexpensive test. And you know, Soper says, it's not going to get any better anytime soon. It's going to get worse. Myra Christopher, who is the president and chief executive officer of the Center for Practical Bioethics, told the NBC reporter that change won't happen until there's a change in the entire medical model. As Christopher said, I just believe strongly that we need to start being honest about what's going on here. Now, what's going on is that some insurance companies deny even routine treatments because insurance companies treat their patients as costs, not as clients. 2 weeks ago, Tracy Pierce, with kidney cancer, talked to the TV news guy again. And he said to the TV news guy, I'm just holding a lot of anger in. Cancer had ravaged his body, moving from his kidney to his lungs to his brain. His wife said, "We're just at the point now where we're just trying to make him comfortable." Even as he was dying, for more than a week, the insurance company denied him oral morphine, which had been prescribed to reduce his pain. His wife said, "That's unacceptable because in this day and age, nobody should be in pain." Tracy Pierce, 2 weeks ago, said, "I just hope we can get something done about it, that's all. I have to get something done." About an hour and a half after Tracy Pierce talked to the NBC reporter, he took a nap, never woke up. His family calls his case death by denial. The family is now begging for change. Myra Christopher, the president and CEO of Center for Practical Bioethics, said the reality is the blame and shame game isn't going to get us anywhere. We're all at fault. Well, Ms. Christopher, I disagree with you. I think in this case, the insurance company's at fault. For Julie Pierce, it was 15 months of watching her husband die slowly, painfully, and helplessly with no chance at treatment. Julie Pierce said, "You know, my mother always told me to get a good job with insurance." For what? It hasn't done anything. Julie Pierce said that she understands that we all die. What is expected, she said, is that if you have health insurance, you'll be given a fighting chance. That's not what happened to her husband. Crown queens and Cadillacs waving their goodbyes. This town that used to be so strong, that's inspired men's songs.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful, and all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
If you're not outraged, then you're just not paying attention. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 23 past the hour. This is from John Conyers, written today, addressed to the President, the Vice President, the White House, Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. President and Mr. Vice President, yesterday the National Journal and Associated Press reported that the Vice President's former Chief of Staff, I. Louis Libby, had testified to a federal grand jury that is part of an effort to discredit Ambassador Joseph Wilson and defend your administration's use of pre-war intelligence. He, Libby, had been authorized by the Vice President and other White House superiors to leak classified information to journalists. Moreover, correspondence filed by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald also reveals that Mr. Libby has asserted that he had been authorized to disclose to the media a still classified portion of a national intelligence estimate about alleged efforts to develop nuclear weapons to the media. If this is true, I am concerned that it constitutes an abuse of power at best and maybe outright unlawful at worst. And I understand the applicable declassification regulations, if I understand them. They provide that, quote, information shall be disclassified as soon as it no longer meets the standard for classification under this order, end quote. Under these standards, it would appear that neither classified nuclear information nor Valerie Plame's status as a covert agent or the name of her employer warranted declassification. This is why Special Prosecutor Fitzgerald has stated that these leaks were, quote, a serious breach of public trust, end quote. As a result of these reports, I'd like to ask you the following questions. One, is the report in the National Journal accurate? Have you or your staffs authorized Mr. Libby or other personnel within the administration to declassify and leak information to the media relating to the Iraq War and the use of pre-war intelligence on any occasions? If so, please describe. Two, what is the legal basis for authorizing such declassifications and disclosures? And three, on September 30th, 2003, the President declared, quote, listen, I know of nobody, I don't know of anybody in my administration who leaked classified information. If somebody did leak classified information, I'd like to know it and we'll take the appropriate action, end quote. Do you still stand by this pledge? And if so, what action are you planning to take against any individuals who may have authorized the leaks described in the National Journal article? To the extent you believe any of the information needed to respond to the above questions may be classified or sensitive, I am happy to meet with you or your staffs directly on these matters. And I may be reached through my Judiciary Committee office at phone number, Office, Washington, D.C. Thank you. Sincerely, John Conyers, Jr. I'm sure when Mr. Conyers opens his congressional mail Monday morning, there'll be an answer, huh?
Is it right to wish the poor man rich? Is it right to wish the rich man poor? Hope all that's well is well and fair. Wish not ever stop to despair. Being so mad, not start crying. Don't pay off for all my trying. Do it right, never fail. Wishing for some fairy tale. Nobody said this would be fair. They phoned you before you went out there. There's always a chance to get restarted. To a new world, new life scars, but smarter. To a new world, new life scars, but smarter.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
For all those things you no longer need,
I sold it.
Bring them to I Sold It, the number one seller on eBay, with hundreds of drop-off stores nationwide.
I sold it.
Our trained staff will photograph your item, create a great eBay listing, collect payment, then pack and ship. You just cash the check.
I sold it.
Stop by or call for a free eBay appraisal. It's easy and there's no charge if it doesn't sell.
I sold it.
I sold it, the easy way to sell on eBay. To reach an I Sold It store, call 877-I-SOLD-IT. Toll free, 877-I-SOLD-IT. Franchises available.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
At night, we sat with wonder, all gathered in the street, with lights shone down from lamps above, inside this summer's heat. The time again at summer's end, we playfully rehearse the art of wooing girls from here and then hiding when they turn. So what to do with all these questions of who and what and why? Just sit back, relax, accept the comforts of the sky.
It's about 25 before the hour. All right, before we do the Michael Brown actualities today, from today, or sound bites from today, I want you to hear, this is George Bush. When was this, Kathy? Last August, September, subsequent to this horrendous disaster that is still eating away the city of New Orleans.
We didn't know about this in the White House. I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees. When that storm came through at first, people said, there was a sense of relaxation at the moment, a critical moment.
We view this storm as a temporary disruption. All major gasoline pipelines are now in operation, preventing the supply disruptions that many feared.
The good folks must understand that major refineries have been shut down, which means it's going to be hard to get gasoline to some markets. We're working to help these pipelines get up and running. Pipelines carry refined product.
Uh-huh. There's a gasoline station up and running. Right. So progress is being made.
Well, I fully understand people wanting things to have happened yesterday. Can't imagine what it's like to be waving a sign that said, come and get me now. I mean, if people need water and food, we're going to do everything we can to get them water and food. And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
I think there ought to be
zero tolerance of people breaking the law during an emergency such as this. It's very important for the citizens in all affected areas to take personal responsibility. I don't know if you know that or not, but flying in or driving in, there's something different. We got a fantastic opportunity. And out of those huge heaps of timber that used to be homes, a better Mississippi will emerge.
The good news is, and it's hard for some to see it now, that out of this chaos is going to come a fantastic Gulf Coast, like it was before. Out of the rubbles of Trent Lott's house, his hat lost his entire house, there's going to be a fantastic house, and I'm looking forward to sitting on the porch. I know that when you sit on the steps of a porch where a home once stood, or sleep on a cot in a crowded shelter, it is hard to imagine a bright future.
The storm caused huge suffering, as I told you, but it's an opportunity to bring new life to neighborhoods that were suffering before the storm. I believe in urban homesteading. That says we're going to identify federal property and provide lots for low-income citizens that they'll have for free, so long as they build a house on there with a mortgage. We want the Mississippi people to lay out the Mississippi vision about what this important part of the world is going to look like. We look forward to hearing your vision so we can more better do our job.
We are problem solvers. What we're interested in is solving problems. But we're moving on. We're going to solve these problems.
The streets of Biloxi and Gulfport will again be filled with lovely homes and the sound of children playing. And here in New Orleans, the streetcars will once again rumble down St. Charles. Tonight, the Gulf Coast is still coming through the dirge. Yet we will live to see the second line. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Now, that's the first one. Here's the second one. Now, that was all Bush. In this one, you're going to hear everybody from Governor Blanco to various members of this filthy crime family, the Bush crime family, to Scott McClellan. It's just a whole range of people speaking here. And rather than identify each one of them, we just want you to listen to the texture of these voices and the comments that were made.
We have been abandoned by our own country.
Tuesday morning, I opened newspapers and saw headlines that said, New Orleans dodged the bullet.
I think the progress we're making is significant. We've now got a major National Guard presence in virtually every community in Mississippi south of I-20.
What I intend to do is lead an investigation to find out what went right and what went wrong.
We had Walmart deliver 3 trucks of water. FEMA turned them back. They said we didn't need him.
When I said to the president that he should fire Michael Brown because of all that went wrong, with all that didn't go right last week, and he said, what didn't go right?
It's very important for us to understand the relationship between the federal government, the state government, and the local government.
Oblivious in denial, dangerous.
FEMA comes in and cuts all of our emergency communication lines.
We got to solve problems. We're problem solvers.
We are focused on getting things done and solving problems. We're focused on solving problems. The president is interested in solving problems. We've got problems to solve, Bob. Bob, we've got problems to solve.
People want us to do here is to play a blame game.
I know some just want to engage in the blame game, play the blame game, trying to finger point. I'm just not going to engage in the blame game or finger pointing that you're trying to get me to engage in. What you're doing is trying to engage in a game of finger pointing and blame gaming. Time for bickering and blame gaming is later.
Information I've received from locals is definitely very impressive.
Go yourself, Mr. Kane.
Around the country, children who've been displaced because of Hurricane Katrina are starting to school this week.
The only way to avoid a catastrophic problem in that soup bowl is to have people leave before the hurricane hits.
Nobody's coming to get us. Nobody's coming to get us.
Life's not easy.
The secretary has promised. Everybody's promised. They've had press conferences. I'm sick of the press conferences.
Hurricane hit New Orleans. George Bush doesn't live there. George Bush is in Washington. How can he possibly be to blame for this?
I also want to encourage anybody who was affected by Hurricane Katrina to make sure their children are in school.
For God's sakes, shut up and send us somebody.
So who wants to be depressed? So what we choose to do is just laugh at these yokels.
Sit around. Friday night. She drowned it Friday night.
Making their bed, they can lay in it. They're taking their shower, they can drown in it.
Jesus Christ. Limbaugh, you drug-addled pig. Your time is coming. All right. From today's hearings, now that you have context, that's what Michael Brown just got all pissed off at Norm Coleman today because Michael Brown kept saying, well, you're not putting it in context. Okay, there's the context. Here we go. This is Senator Mark Dayton, Democrat from Minnesota. He asked Brown about the 30 conversations he had with the White House over the Hurricane Katrina weekend prior to the storm's landfall. Brown says he wanted a mandatory evacuation. Well, he sure paints a different picture than what was presented in the press about his nonchalant attitude and his white starched shirts and his buttoned cuffs.
Mr. Brown, you stated in your testimony previously to the House committee that you had communications with the White House, quote, 30 times during the weekend before Katrina made landfall on Monday, August 29th, and that included several calls to President Bush regarding that matter. Could you, since you're not under executive privilege, comment on with whom you had those conversations in the White House and what the substance of those conversations were, please?
Yes, I had the conversations prior to me leaving D.C. and going to Baton Rouge. There were at least one or two conversations directly with the president, just about, I'll just say, generally about the situation and what was going on.
Prior to the actual landfall?
Yes.
And what was the general nature of those conversations? You were apprising him of the...
Apprising him of the situation. The one that's been reported in the news that I guess falls outside the privilege at this point is that I literally called the president and asked him to call Governor Blanco and to call the mayor and do everything he could within his persuasive powers to convince them to do a mandatory evacuation.
Well, gee, I guess it was like that president's daily briefing about Bin Laden determined to strike in the United States. I guess it just got lost in the show. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's right. Bush was on vacation. That's right. Senator Dayton goes on to ask Brownie about the timeline listed in today's New York Times about when Bush knew the levees were breached. Brown confirms that the White House Situation Room was informed Monday, meaning at least Andy Card and Deputy Chief of Staff Joe Hagan were informed, and still Bush sat around on his ass.
Monday, August 29th, states here, 9:27 p.m., an email message from... with the subject FYI from FEMA was sent to the Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff's chief of staff, says the first reports they are getting from aerial surveys in New Orleans are far more serious than media reports are currently reflecting. 10 p.m. in a conference call, Mr. Bamandi describes the levee breach and flooding to FEMA operational staff. 10:30, a Homeland Security situation report states, quote, there is a quarter-mile breach in the levee near the 17th Street Canal. The report reaches the White House later that night. 11:05, an email message from FEMA's deputy director to Michael Jackson, Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security, says that the breach has occurred. Do you know whether the White House, or anyone in the White House, was informed on that Monday night in any by any communication?
What I understand that report is about a SIT report, a situation report that went to the White House Situation Room. I can tell you in my conversations directly with Hagan and Card and others that they were aware of what was going on.
They were aware as of when?
I have to go back and look at myself.
When were they aware of the breach, to your knowledge?
Sometime that day.
Monday.
Monday.
Oh, really? Well, then that means Bush and Chertoff and Cheney and the rest of these bastards are lying again, doesn't it? It's incredible. Like I said at the blog today, all these people know how to do is lie. Everything is a lie. Every single thing. This is the most incompetent group, not to mention the most criminal group, I think ever, to occupy the White House. It's insane. And we are relying on these half-witted sons of bitches to protect us from anything. Anything. It's unbelievable. I got you on the beat. I left you broken. But won't you take my place as long as I wandered way out on the cliff with the brilliance of an angel. America is brandishing her weapons. She keeps me safe and warm by threats and misconceptions. So if you break the chain, you'll have to shake it. The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
9 minutes before the hour, back to the hearings today with Michael Brown on the hot seat, former FEMA director. Now Smokin' Joe Lieberman, who sits in that committee, asks Brownie to expand on his statement that Katrina was, quote, a catastrophe within a catastrophe, end quote, which implies that Michael Chertoff was not responding to Brownie's concerns that Katrina was, quote, the big one, end quote. Now, listen here, because Brown paints a very different picture of the situation, that he was taking the Hurricane Pam simulation extremely seriously, but just couldn't get Chertoff's attention.
This was why I was screaming and hollering about getting money to do catastrophic disaster planning. This is why I specifically wanted to do New Orleans as the first place to do that. This is why I was so furious that once we were able to do Hurricane Pam, that I was rebuffed on getting the money to do the follow-up, the follow-on. This is why I told the staff during that video conference call, the day before the hurricane struck, that I expected them to cut every piece of red tape, do everything they could, that it was balls to the wall, that I didn't want to hear anybody say that we couldn't do anything, to do everything they humanly could to respond to this. Because I knew in my gut, Senator, this was the bad one.
Balls to the wall? Is he allowed to say that on national television? Well, it's an entirely different picture here. Well, Brownie, what are you telling us? Are you telling us that you were thoroughly competent, but this half-witted demon, Michael Chertoff, who runs the Department of Homeland... Remember, the Bush crime family never wanted a Department of Homeland Security. That is a congressional construct. In fact, the Bush crime family tried desperately not to have it. Why? Because that sort of power is supposed to reside with Donald Rumsfeld and the military. So what has happened with the Department of Homeland Security? They put this cadaverous freak, Michael Chertoff, in charge and tell him, let it burn! Let it burn! And then they take this poor, misguided horse trainer, Michael Brown, and put him in charge of FEMA and say to him, let it burn! Because these sorts of things now, in the big scheme of things, the Bush crime family plan for the United States, all of these agencies are to be meaningless and superfluous. The only agency that will have the power will be the military. Is it coming clear for you, Truth Seeker? Joe Lieberman now asked Brown to expand on his statement to Katrina. Oh, no, we just did that one, didn't we? Okay, let's do one more before the break. Norm Coleman again, Republican from Minnesota, and Brown get into it over Brown's damaging emails, which paint him as a completely out-of-touch freak. Brownie hardly disputes that.
The concern that I have is you know, from your perspective, I'm hearing balls to the walls, but I'm looking at emails and lack of responsiveness. Marty Bamonde on sending an email about situation past critical. This is on Wednesday this time. Hotels kicking people out, dying patients, and your response is, thanks for the update. Anything I need to do to tweak? We have questions on...
Senator, with all due respect, you take that out of context because... You do that on the fly, saying, yes, is there anything else I need to tweak? And what you ignore is what's done beyond that, which is calling the White House, talking to the operations people, and making certain that things are getting done. And I'm frankly getting sick and tired of these emails being taken out of context.
Woo!
With words like, what do I need to tweak? Because I need to know, is there something else that I need to tweak? And that doesn't even include all of the other stuff that's going on, Senator. So with all due respect... Don't draw conclusions from an email.
No, please don't. I had all kinds of stuff going on. What I liked about his testimony today was when he talked about how his nights in the motel room trying to get things to work, he spent a lot of time crying, a lot of time screaming. Huh? A lot of time trying to phone George W. Bush about the problem. A lot of time trying to get in touch with Michael Chertoff. My goodness. Everything's going to be
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
If anything defined the last year in politics, it was the images of New Orleans flooded and drowning. So it's appalling that Hurricane Katrina has already been forgotten. In Bush's State of the Union address, Katrina received a mere 8 sentences buried at the end of his speech. More amazingly, responses by Democratic leaders didn't even mention the storm. The Bush administration has refused to cooperate with the Senate's investigation of what went wrong. It's failed to explain that it learned of the storm's havoc 48 hours before it hit. The White House knew at the highest levels, says former FEMA Director Mike Brown, who testified before the Senate today. 5 months after the storm, New Orleans remains in ruins, and Mayor Ray Nagin is appealing to foreign governments for aid. This is what things have come to. The richest country in the world can't be bothered to rebuild one of its most historic cities. For more, visit thenation.com. I'm Ari Berman for Air America Radio.
For all those things you no longer need,
I sold it.
Bring them to I Sold It, the number one seller on eBay, with hundreds of drop-off stores nationwide.
I sold it.
Our trained staff will photograph your item, create a great eBay listing, collect payment, then pack and ship. You just cash the check.
I sold it.
Stop by or call for a free eBay appraisal. It's easy and there's no charge if it doesn't sell.
I sold it.
I sold it, the easy way to sell on eBay. To reach an I Sold It store, call 877-I-SOLD-IT. Toll free, 877-I-SOLD-IT. Franchises available.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. After months of being the butt of the joke, the whipping boy for the government's sluggish response to Hurricane Katrina, Michael Brown hit back on Friday. Brown testified at a Senate hearing that he told top White House officials the day Katrina hit about massive flooding in New Orleans. Brown told senators that he dealt directly with White House officials, including Chief of Staff Andrew Card and Deputy Chief of Staff Joe Hagan. He also said that officials from the Homeland Security Department were getting regular briefings that day.
For them to now claim that we didn't have awareness of it, I think is just baloney.
In his last congressional appearance nearly 6 months ago, Brownie, as he was nicknamed by President Bush, heaped the bulk of blame on state and local officials. Is Scooter Libby going to finger Vice President Cheney? His lawyers say no. Yesterday, the prosecutor in the Valerie Plame CIA outing case said Cheney's indicted former chief of staff told the grand jury he was acting with the permission of his superiors when he talked to reporters about classified intelligence documents in an apparent attempt to build a case for the Iraq invasion. As Cheney's chief of staff, well, Libby's superiors would presumably include the vice president. Libby's lawyers say he is not going to say he had permission. A federal judge says he is fed up with foot dragging by the Justice Department. His name is U.S. District Judge Henry Kennedy, and he said Friday he was considering setting a deadline for the Justice Department to produce records on the Bush administration's warrantless surveillance program, either that or explain to the court why it was refusing to do so. Judge Kennedy is presiding over a lawsuit filed over access to the documents by three organizations. Congress is having difficulty getting the same information out of the government. A Justice Department lawyer in response said the government would respond starting March 3rd, but she said she had no information on when the process might be completed. Former President Bill Clinton and Maria Shriver, the wife of California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, were among the dignitaries on hand as Tiger Woods officially opened his $25 million learning center in Anaheim, California today, aimed at helping children. The Tiger Woods Learning Center is located next to the golf course where Woods played when he was in high school. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
was late last night, I saw 415 on the road. With nothing in his pocket, his hand to the sky, nowhere else to go.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Yeah, for all you driving and crying fans, it's Kevin Kinney. Kevin Kinney night on the Malloy program tonight. And we're driving and crying all night. I remember when I first heard about this band back in the 80s, late 80s, driving and crying. You know, oh, God, what a sad concept. Driving and crying. How many times has that happened to you, right? One more. Dust up here between Norm Coleman, Republican from Minnesota, and Michael Brownie Brown, former head of FEMA. Norm Coleman here gets into it with Brownie over his poor handling of the New Orleans crisis, and I don't know what the word I'm looking for here. What sort of adjective? What describes this back and forth?
Perhaps you may get a more sympathetic hearing if you had a willingness to kind of confess your own sins in this. And, you know, your testimony here is that you're going to communicate to the president as to what he understood. I'm not sure what you understood. I'm not sure you got it. I got to tell you, the record, not the emails, but the record, reflects that you didn't get it, or you didn't in writing or some way make commands that would move people to do what has to be done until way after it should have been done.
Senator, with all due respect, what do you want me to say? I have admitted to mistakes publicly. I've admitted to mistakes in hearings. What more, Senator Coleman, do you want from me?
Well, I think...
What do you want from me? I'm asking you.
Well,
what do you want from me?
What I'm hearing today and what I heard from your testimony is coming in and talking about all these structural traps, that the die was cast. That was your testimony today. By the integration, and by the way, I have my own questions about the integration of FEMA and DHS. But what I heard today from you, that the die was cast. And what I'm saying, Mr. Brown, I'm saying that, in fact, no leadership makes a difference. You didn't provide the leadership, even with structural infirmities. Strong leadership can overcome that, and clearly that wasn't the case here.
Well, Senator, that's very easy for you to say, sitting behind that dais, and not being there in the middle of that disaster, watching that human suffering and watching those people dying and trying to deal with those structural dysfunctionalities even within the federal government. And I absolutely resent you sitting here saying that I lack the leadership to do that, because I was down there pushing everything that I could. I've admitted to those mistakes. And if you want something else from me, put it on the table and you tell me what you want me to admit to.
A little more candor would suffice. Thank you, Matt.
How much more can... What more can... Ask me the question, Senator. Ask me the question.
Thank you, Matt. I think my time is up. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, the conclusions that I drew today, and this was fascinating to watch. You know what's going to be more fascinating is next week when this evil son of a bitch, this ghoulish-looking Michael Chertoff, takes his place at the table. This was just a warm-up act today, okay? This was the preliminary bout. This was the three-rounder to get the crowd stomping for blood. I'm stomping. I am. Chertoff. A man who has as much business being the head of Homeland Security as you do, or I do. In other words, none, except for one thing. Bush wants Homeland Security to fail miserably. Rove wants it to fail miserably. And most of all, Rumsfeld wants it to fail miserably. They don't want this. Department of Homeland Security, my ass! It gets in the way of the military takeover. FEMA gets in the way of the state of emergency that the military will handle. They want this to fail. That's the reason nobody said a damn word to this poor, overfed freak Michael Brown. Nobody got on the phone with him. In that respect, he's probably right. Help! Somebody help me! Michael, Mr. President, Mr. Chief of Staff, somebody, their bodies floating down here. They're all Negroes, so it doesn't really count. But their bodies down here. Oh, my God. You want to see the Houston Astro Dome. Now, you know, connect the dots. Okay, put your tinfoil hat on. Dump New Orleans. Let it die. Let all the people just disappear. They're not coming back. These are people living on the margins to begin with. Just like that old bitch Barbara Bush said when everybody was huddled in the Houston Astrodome. Well, these people have been on welfare. They're scum, so this is probably a pretty good deal for them. Oh, I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what she said. That's the evil that came pouring out of her patrician heart. Yeah, get them out of New Orleans, man. That's prime real estate. We're going to fill all this Ninth Ward in here with wetlands, and we're going to build these huge McMansions. Oh, Jesus, this is going to be great. We're running out of room on Long Island. We're running out of room on the Connecticut shore. We need to put it down here in New Orleans, where the Negroes will come out and dance and do music for us, and the French-speaking white folk will come out and cook us nice Cajun food. It's disgusting. Well, as Jesse over at TVNewsLies.org on his blog today, you know, he asked a very simple question. Do we have to arrest Bush and company ourselves? Do we have to make citizens' arrests? We have smoking gun after smoking gun, and the criminals in charge of our nation do nothing. It is quite clear they are all, with few exceptions, in on the crimes. We have evidence there was inside involvement in 9/11. Nothing happens. Evidence that Bush lied about the reasons for invading Iraq, about what he knew about the potential doom of Katrina in advance. And he knew, may have even been involved in 9/11. Nothing happens. We have testimony that Dick Cheney approved the leaking of top secret information. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Do we have to arrest these criminals ourselves? Even if all the evidence is wrong, it only proves that this administration is so incompetent that they should be removed from office for our own safety. Congress is our enemy. The Justice Department has been compromised in the same way that Police Captain Mark McCluskey was in the movie The Godfather. Our military has been so blinded with propaganda they don't realize that they've been mobilized in direct contradiction to the principles for which they believe they're fighting. A local law enforcement has already taken steps to implement a fascist police state where they view peace groups as the enemy and they force the statutes that violate our Constitution. Do we have to carry out justice ourselves? Do we have to revert to the street justice of the Wild West? Do we need to form a posse and arrest the criminals ourselves? Is there not a single institution in our nation that can come in and stop this insanity? Will the people have to rise up and save themselves? This whole nation has flipped. We are insane. The crimes are so egregious, so outrageous, so vile, that people do not believe they are being committed. They see and smell and feel and hear and taste the evidence, but they still find this reality too difficult to believe. What do we have to do? What do we have to do to wake everyone up?
They came chasing me. And in the end, the whole thing turns around. Find the spirit, find the cause. Stay right now, grab your guitar. Write yourself a song. Like a broken heart and all the parts and everything between, I would know the food in the soup and on the silver screen, where I can hide. and auto parts is here.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
I'm 21 past the hour. The last little bit of lies here that we're reporting on today is, or this evening, is at Capitol Hill Blue. Doug Thompson says that a whole bunch of intelligence professionals say Bush is, quote, cheapening and politicizing, end quote, their work with claims the United States spoiled a planned terrorist attack against L.A. in 2002. Now, Doug Thompson is not naming a lot of names here, and he says why, but he quotes a longtime field operative of the CIA, quote, the president has cheapened the entire intelligence community by dragging us into his fantasy world. He's basing this absurd claim on the same discredited informant who told us Al-Qaeda would attack selected financial institutions in New York and Washington, end quote. Remember that? Remember that? Well, apparently within within hours of Bush's claim yesterday that his filthy, degenerate, incompetent administration had foiled an attack, sources who said they were current and retired intelligence pros from CIA, NSA, FBI, contacted Doug Thompson at Capitol Blue with angry comments, most of them email form. One email said he's full of blank. And Thompson writes, although none was willing to allow use of their names, saying doing so would place him in legal jeopardy, we were able to confirm that at least four of the 23 who contacted us currently work or had worked within the U.S. intelligence community. The lies never stop. What I have figured out, and it took me, 6 minutes? 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Maybe it was 7 years ago. Anything that comes out of Bush's mouth is a lie. Anything. I don't care what it is. It is a lie. If you start from that position, then, as he so famously said, fool me once, won't get fooled again. You're damn right, won't get fooled again. I like what Jesse wrote. What are we supposed to do? Go arrest this son of a bitch ourselves? Is that what it'll take? Huh? Let's do some phone calls here. Anybody on the line? I don't blame you if you're not. Let's start with Jack in Oceanside. Is that Oceanside, what state, Jack?
New York.
Oceanside, New York. Jack, welcome to the program.
Yes. Listen, I follow your show, but you are totally wrong. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Really? What am I totally wrong about?
Really?
What? What am I totally wrong about?
Explain why your show was taken off the air in New York.
As soon as you answer my question, tell me what I'm totally wrong about.
You are totally wrong about the your show, which was taken off New York.
Tell me what I'm totally wrong about, Jack. You're starting to try my patience. Now I don't want to hang up.
I'm sure I will.
Don't be an ass. Don't be a five-year-old. Act like an adult
man.
Hang
up on me. Come on, let's go.
Act like a man.
Come on, hang up on me like you always do.
Okay, goodbye. Jesus, how difficult is that? These three-year-olds. I've explained what happened, the reason I'm no longer on WLIB. It was a money deal. It was carefully explained. This guy waited 50 minutes to get on the air and say that. He's one of those types, you know, hang up on me, go ahead. He's one of those types, I've said before, they sit in little dark rooms, they take off all their clothes, and they sit there when this program comes on. And they have little instruments. And they do things to their toes, and they do things to their other body parts with their little instruments. Sometimes they bleed a little bit. Sometimes they squeal. Herb is calling from Mississippi. Herb, welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael, buddy. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right, Herb.
That guy was pretty funny, wasn't he?
Oh, he's a hoot. Absolute hoot. I love it when he calls. I just love it.
Mike, of course, I hadn't been following Brown. That's not what I called you for, because I figured I ain't anything coming out of this that I hadn't heard before.
I'm sitting right here in the middle of all this crap here.
Yeah, you're right down there in Mississippi.
And I know exactly what's going on, and I know that Brown is telling some of the truth, and he's telling lies again. So, I mean, hey, you know, it's all going to come out.
Well, I like to hear him talking about the incompetence of FEMA and DHS and the Bush crime family. I think he's being honest there. Hold on a second, Herb. I got to do a break,
Mike.
And then we'll come back right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Flying Monkey Right Blues. Here's the Cure, Mike Malloy.
Wrote in the sand that you felt the same.
God, don't you just want to go out and dance? Screw all this. Just. Kathy, come back. It's about 25 before the hour. Maybe tomorrow night, kiddo. This is from Matthew in Sioux City, Iowa, vis-a-vis the freak that just called. He says, hey, Mike, just remember, no matter what these right-wingers say to you, you always have a loyal listener in Sioux City, Iowa, who always listens to your program no matter what and does pay for it. Gladly. Keep it kicking right-wing butt. It's from Matthew and his last name in Sioux City, Iowa. What's he talking about, Kathy? The premium streaming now from Air America? Is that what it is? I have no idea. I just know it could be XM Satellite. Either way, bless your heart, Matthew. I went to Air America. I'm coming right back to you in a second here, Herb. I haven't forgotten you. I went to the Air America website today to look at something on in my archives and couldn't get in. They asked me for my password. The site asked for the password. Do we have a password, Kathy? I don't know either. But then the site directed me to a pay place where I could pay and get on the site. And I was looking for a place where I could send them a quick email that was full of obscenities. But that's a waste of time, too. oh, man, we got to get a password. We just have to get a password. I would love to be able to just get on the website. Maybe. What does it cost? Back to Herb in Mississippi. All right, Herb, where were we? Thanks for holding on.
Okay, Mike. I enjoyed that. That was funny. I wanted to tell you a story.
All right.
This is a true story. And
it's not real long, is it?
I'm going to make it as short as I can, Mike.
Okay.
This is from a SS officer in the Third Reich. And his son was a really close friend of mine in Germany. And he told me a lot of things. We talked a lot. And every time something in this nation happens, I think back to what the man said. And he said, "This, the thing that we always knew about America was no matter how bad Hitler tried to say that the Americans were bad people, we knew they were good people. You know, that they would be fair and try to do their best. And we knew we would not get tortured."
Oh, the ones who were caught and held as prisoners.
Right, and he did get caught, and he was held as a prisoner in California for a long time. And when he left and went back to Germany, he told his sons, and I knew both of them, he said, "Sons, if you ever get a chance, go to America because that is a decent country. Even though they're a little obnoxious at times, they are good people." Well, now, can we say that today, Mike? Can we?
Well, obviously, no. There's still an awful lot of people that come here, but I think there are people who are ignorant of what's going on and probably hope, if they're not ignorant, hope that rationality will retake the country, I hope.
Well, now, this guy, he opened up and told everything he had to tell because he saw the light. You don't torture people to show them the light.
Well, that's very true. You know, Brother Dave Gardner said one time, you can't beat people up and have them say, "I love you."
There you go. That's all I wanted to do, Mike, and I appreciate you, buddy. And,
all right.
Hey, you were great to me during the hurricane, and I'm going to reemphasize that fella in New York.
All right. Thank you, Herb. Thanks. You have a nice evening. How many folks know about Brother Dave Gardner? We've talked about him before. If there's still any way to get his comedy albums from way back in the 60s, way back, they're worth listening to. Brother Dave Gardner from the South. Okay. Did we lose our Telos screen here? Yeah, I guess we did. All right. Well, maybe New York can whisper in my... Jimmy in Memphis. Let's talk with Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How about you, Jimmy?
All right, man. I just want to first tell you, man, that I love you. I love your show. And I don't know Kathy and Molly, but I think I love them, too.
Well, we love you, too, Jimmy.
What I like, Mike, is the truth that you tell. And I watched part of this hearing today on Michael Brown.
Uh-huh.
And the man is not answering any of the questions that the senators are putting forth to him. He's telling him he doesn't have an answer for that. I mean, doesn't that make him guilty? I mean, isn't he basically saying, I'm guilty here? You know.
Well, that's one way to look at it. That makes sense to me, too. These thugs and criminals and pimps are so used to, in the Bush crime family, are so used to dodging and weaving and not telling the truth about anything, not giving anything. That, see, what happened today, apparently, Michael Brown asked the Bush administration if he was going to be constricted or restricted in his testimony by so-called executive privilege. You know, what Bush uses to deny and lie about everything. And apparently, either the message didn't get through the question, or the Bush crime family said, go ahead and talk, we don't care. So anyway, I have a feeling that he was telling an awful lot of truth out there today, telling too much truth. But because these people are all liars, every single damn one of them, everything they say sounds like a lie.
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it, Jimmy.
Exactly. I know you're not a person who wears a tinfoil hat and stuff like that, Mike, but I know here lately you've started to come on to what happened on 9/11.
I don't see that as tinfoil hat or conspiracy. I see that in my world. I'm not asking anybody else to believe what I believe.
You don't have to ask me. I've seen the truth.
Right,
the videos. I've seen all of the stuff that's out there on it.
That's right. And to me, it's not conspiratorial. It is fact as best.
That's right.
As best as can be pieced together or put together. Everybody who has worked on this, all the filmmakers, all the people, all at the different websites, keep in mind that there has never been a deliberate, concentrated effort on the part of the United States government or any aspect of the government to find out what happened on the day that 3,000 people died on our soil. The only effort that has been put out there by the government has been to cover up, hide, obfuscate, destroy, eliminate, and bury any evidence, any fact, any truth. Now, this 9/11 Truth Commission, this chump-ass organization, that's nonsense. So when I have, in my little universe, a clear understanding that the Bush administration has done everything in its power to stop an investigation, to not let one develop, and then I look at all the work that's been done out there by hundreds of people who have busted their ass, who have gone the extra mile, who have done research that you and I couldn't do if we stayed up every night for 100 years, Jimmy. We couldn't do it. And then they present their evidence. And I still get emails from people that say, a variation of Malloy, you're out of your mind. Why have you gone over the dark side? I'm a structural engineer. Let me tell you why this couldn't happen and that couldn't happen. And to those folks, I say, look, I don't call you out of your mind because you don't believe it. So save your insults where it concerns this. Look at the evidence as it's available. Use your own mind. Come to your own conclusion. Nobody got inside my head, or probably not yours, Jimmy, and start whispering stuff and saying, bishu, 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 bishu. It's from using your own ability, whatever that level of ability is. Some of us have more, some of us have less. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to use what I have and come to a conclusion. The conclusion I have come to, and I've struggled with, I struggled with this for 5 years, and I finally come to the conclusion. These sons of bitches in the Bush administration are responsible for what happened on September 11, 2001. And if there is justice somewhere, eventually it will be meted out to them. Now, that's my bottom line.
My conclusion is that we are going to have to take this country back. And I believe we're going to have to do it by force.
You sound like Thomas Jefferson. Watch out. They can lock you up for quoting Thomas Jefferson now.
Well, the truth is the light. And, they can lock me up, and they can kill me. But that's all they can do to me.
Well, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Because I'm always here to protect you, Jimmy.
And you got somebody here for you, Mike. Thanks, man.
All right. Take care. You have a good evening. Jackie is calling from Akron, Ohio. Jackie, welcome to the program.
Good evening,
Mike. I called for one reason, but please let me just say this about that.
Sure.
What you were just talking about. It's just insane. This administration, I call it the adding most insult to injury that they could possibly do since
uh-huh.
they've begun. But if you recall, I'm sure that I actually got this information from your show. David Ray Griffin, I think his name was.
Yes.
Remember, because you told me about it. Did you ever watch it on C-SPAN? Because I know you said his...
No, I still haven't gotten to it, and I feel bad about it. Hey, hold on a second, Jackie. Hold on a second, because I got to do this break. I didn't realize we were that close when I took your call. So just stay right there. We'll come back as soon as the break is over. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Still they won't believe me. Well, the tales were told, the stories were. For some reason I believed him. I said, what do you know about revolution? When all our talk was chasing and waiting and making a statement, oh, let's go dancing. Oh, let's go.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
blue light flashing across the street.
Truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Was it you that I saw walk by? Or was it just my imagination running wild? I'm so tired waiting for you.
It's about 9 before the hour. Somebody emailed in and said, why are you playing all Kevin Kinney music tonight? And I'll tell you the truth, because it's just comforting to me. It really is. There's a lot of music I like I'm sure you have your favorites, but there's something about Kevin's music that makes me think of summer afternoons back when it seemed like I didn't have a lot of problems here in Atlanta. I'm talking about maybe, Kathy, 15, 18 years ago. And it just seems that you know what memory does. You know, it kind of scrapes things clean a little bit. But Kevin's music just reminds me of having a drink, smoking a doobie, listening to music, being outside, hanging out with your friends. That's why. Okay, back to Jackie, who's called in from Akron, Ohio. All right, Jackie, where were we?
Well, I was mentioning that David Ray Griffin thing, and it was, I mean, I feel just as strongly, I mean, I'm popping blood vessels every night for the past so many years, every day. There's not been one day. But that David Ray Griffin thing, I didn't even want to believe it, but, yeah, I mean, you should just...
I am going to do it. I swear I am. And like I said... Go ahead.
Well, since you've already, you know, the other information you've been talking about, I mean, you need to just see... put that in your library because...
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Hello? Did we lose her? Jackie?
Oh.
Oh, there you are. All right,
oh,
Jackie.
Good.
You were,
I'm
all right, here. Go ahead. You were off
for
about 3 seconds.
Okay, my other... I'm sorry. But anyway, my other point was I just wanted to ask if in all the time that you have tried to take hate wing phone calls, and have you... I mean, I listen to every show, all the C-SPAN call-ins. I listen to everything. I have never once, and I wonder if you have heard, a cognitive argument or anything of substance when they call in to, I mean, have you ever once had a call where you could actually speak to the person with, you know, thoughtful reasoning? Do they ever make a point to you when they call in, other than the hate stuff, which goes right down to, like, the... disgusting O'Reillys and Hannitys. I mean, it's all just hate talk with no facts, right?
Well, that's been my experience, and I don't know why that is.
I've never once heard one of them make a good argument for anything.
No.
Just throw their lines out.
And I think that's because there is no good argument to make for genocide, for war, for lies.
They make a mockery out of reality and facts. I mean, they just... are on the opposite side with nothing to back them up, ever. None of them have an answer. That's why our government's so secretive that they can't answer anything ever, because they have no reason for anything they
well,
do
that's,
except
yeah.
hate.
Well, remember what I said I heard my colleague on this network, Janine Garofalo, say last night. I tuned into her program, and I heard her say, liberals create a moral universe, and then conservatives come along and dismantle it.
Right, and she also coined the phrase that they are the mean and the dumb, and it's so apropos, always has been, but she did that years ago.
The mean and the dumb. Hey, I got a boogie.
Okay,
thanks a lot for checking in, Jackie.
Good luck to all of us.
Yeah, I hear that. Take care. Have a good weekend. Oh, Lord. What's that?
I feel like a polka, Kathy!
Someone stole the keyshka.
All right, get up and dance!
Who stole the keyshka?
Come on, everybody, get up and dance. Here we go.
From the butcher shop.
Hey! Hey!
Found in firm and fully packed. It was hanging from the rack. Someone stole the keyshka while I turned my back.
When I get a call from Ohio, this happens a lot.
Who stole the keyshka?
Yeah. Hey!
Shinka or my sweet Jobasi, you can have my girlie, bring me back my Kiska. Who stole the Kiska? Who stole the Kiska?
Kishka. Who stole the Kishka? Someone call the cops.
Hey! Yakas on the Kishka. Yakas on the Kishka. Yakas on the Kishka. Younger on the left.
Hey!
He found the Kishka. He found the Kishka. He found the Kishka. Younger on the right.
Hey!
What happened to music?
Damn!
I don't think everyone out there in the listening audience heard what our esteemed resident rock star in New York just said.
Well, that's good.
Damn, Kathy, you can still dance!
Woo!
That's the thing about this program. There's just absolutely no decorum whatsoever. Now, to close out this segment, when we get to it, could you do the Kevin Kenny Let's Go Dancing bit again just one more time? You can't get to it? You can't?
The quote's your daughter. No, no, no.
All right, we're coming up on the break, top of the hour
no,
break.
Dada, no.
When we come back in the next hour, we're going to have our reading of Orwell's 1984 and your phone calls. And I don't know if we're going to introduce any more topics into tonight's discussion or not. But anyway, stick around. Another hour to go. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Friend, make me make my friends that stand with me until the end. Day, make me my day to last as long as I can see. Have you heard the wolf been creeping around my door while I was sleeping? Figured they would be so honest to swap my blisters for their promise. Peace, make me peace, and I will be the man you seek. Peace, make me peace, and I will be the man you seek. Peace, make me.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
For all those things you no longer need,
I sold it.
Bring them to I Sold It, the number one seller on eBay, with hundreds of drop-off stores nationwide.
I sold it.
Our trained staff will photograph your item, create a great eBay listing, collect payment, then pack and ship. You just cash the check.
I sold it.
Stop by or call for a free eBay appraisal. It's easy and there's no charge if it doesn't sell.
I sold it.
I Sold It, the easy way to sell on eBay. To reach an I Sold It store, call 877-I-SOLD-IT. Toll free, 877-I-SOLD-IT. Franchises available.
America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser.
The 2006 Winter Olympics kicked off Friday in Torino, Italy, with the opening ceremony. A major theme during the festivities was the idea of international peace and universal harmony. Jacques Rogge addressed the crowd of about 35,000 at the Olympic Stadium with a message of goodwill for the nations of the world.
Our world today is in need of peace, tolerance, and brotherhood. The values of the Olympic Games can deliver these to us.
80 nations took part in Friday's ceremonies, the most in the history of the Winter Games. The 2002 Games of Salt Lake City hosted 77 countries. Former FEMA Director Michael Brown addressed questions during a Senate hearing on Hurricane Katrina Friday in Capitol Hill. Senator Norm Coleman of Minnesota told Brown that he lacked leadership during the catastrophe, and Brown shot back saying he did everything he could as he watched the human suffering and people die while dealing with the dysfunction of the federal government.
I was down there pushing everything that I could. I've admitted to those mistakes, and if you want something else from me, put it on the table, and you tell me what you want me to admit to.
A little more candor would suffice.
Brown was forced to resign in a furor over the government's response to the hurricane. New York City is just one city preparing to battle the snow, but as Jim Smith reports, residents are taking it all in stride.
As Old Man Winter toys with the Big Apple, brave New Yorkers are not flinching.
I mean, what can you do? You know, it's part of life. Get some exercise.
I'm used to it. I live up in Pomona, Rockland County. It's nothing to me. It's normal.
Stay home. What can you do? That's all. Remove the snow from a shovel the snow. That's it.
So far, Old Man Winter has been pretty quiet, but if he rears his ugly head, New Yorkers say they're prepared. In Lower Manhattan, Jim Smith, New York.
They may echo through some empty streets, but the sounds and music of Mardi Gras are set to return to New Orleans beginning this weekend. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina and the devastation suffered by that region, city officials say the festivities will be on a smaller scale this year, but hope to make it up with intensity. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Oh, we're not going to get to the chorus yet? Okay, it's about 7 past the hour. Welcome back, Truth Seekers. Let us go right back to the telephones here. Ron is calling from Rhode Island. Ron, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
I'm just catching my breath after all that dancing.
Yeah, it'll make you healthy.
Yeah. I was coming back from Florida a few weeks ago, and we had to land in Philadelphia and catch a flight to Rhode Island. And we have the Newport Naval War College here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking and started talking to this guy, and he asked, you know, what part of Rhode Island we lived in and everything. And I said, how about you? He said, nice, I'm going to the Newport Naval War College. He said, I'm in the Navy. I'm a commander. So I says to him, well, what do you think of the war in Iraq? He says, we shouldn't be there. And then he said that he was worried about the Fourth Amendment with these guys. And he says, the thing that really worries me, he says, is everything this guy's doing is basically what Hitler did. And then another guy joined in, and he was a traveler coming in Rhode Island, lived in Rhode Island, and he feels the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like everybody knows there's something wrong, but nobody's doing anything. Last Friday night, I went to see my friend in the hospital, and this nurse, her husband, is a retired Navy pilot, and she's telling me the same thing about 9/11. And I said, you know, my wife, you know, she doesn't want to. When this naval commander was talking to me, I said, you see what I'm telling you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so now she listens a little more, but she still thinks I'm off the wall.
Well, I think what's happening maybe, and I hope this is the case, Ron, I think people are starting to talk to each other at the last possible second, because eventually, just like in the novel that we're reading every night, 1984, eventually it becomes dangerous to talk. It becomes dangerous to just strike up a conversation with a stranger. This may be, and I hate to be melodramatic here, but Jesus, I don't know how I could add any melodrama to what's going on, but this may be towards the end of the time when you can strike up a conversation with a stranger, especially someone wearing a military uniform, and start talking about things like you were talking about. But I think people are, just like the blog I read from Jesse, who writes at TVNewsLies.org, you know, what do we have to do? Go arrest him ourselves? All this stuff is out there. And you know, just because somebody is in the military doesn't mean they can't have an opinion. They may not be able to express the opinion without risking a charge that they're being disloyal, but uh-huh. they still have the opinion. And I think people who serve in combat would be the first to say, if you send me to combat for an immoral or unjust or non-existent reason, I'm going to come back very pissed. And, you know, I don't know if I should say what I'm going to say now, but I'm going to say it anyway. Timothy McVeigh came back from Gulf War I pissed. And in his conversations before he was executed who is the author, Kathy? Oh, my God. The guy that wrote, Gore Vidal, Endless Perpetual War for Perpetual Peace. He wrote about his correspondence, Gore Vidal, the correspondence with Timothy McVeigh when McVeigh was in prison waiting to be executed. And McVeigh was articulate. I'm not saying anything here. I'm not justifying the murderous activity that he took. I'm trying to understand what would move somebody other than the usual white racist whatever that most of us think motivated Timothy McVeigh, and maybe it did. But and what he wrote to Gore Vidal was that his attack was against the U.S. government because he had gone into Iraq, And he saw the lies, and he came back after that combat. Now, whether any of that is true or pertinent is, at this point, immaterial, can be looked at as fiction. If it's fiction, it's very interesting and intriguing fiction. But that's what McVeigh said. And I think that anyone who has served in Bush's, this Bush's phony, trumped-up war, is coming back with an attitude that might be triggered that was similar to Timothy McVeigh's. I worry for the country.
Well, you know, I was watching the hearings the other day when they were questioning the Attorney General. They don't answer any questions.
No, of course not.
You talk about dancing. They make, and I know you were just dancing your heart out, they make you look like a piker compared when they start dancing around these questions. They answer nothing.
Right.
And when Bush says something, he does, if you watch, he does the complete opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I know. I understand. I understand. Listen, thanks for checking in, Ron. I got to move on. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your comments. Yeah, these guys, you know, I dance around the studio. These guys dance around the truth. And I know exactly what you mean. Aldous is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, where we're going to be, where I'm going to be in a couple of weeks. Hey, Aldous.
Oh, really? You're going to have to make sure that gets out to the local station here.
I would. Oh, well, they're sponsoring it.
Oh, well, excellent. Then I'll have to pay a little more attention to that.
Yeah, I think it's March 13th or March 14th, and then I'm going to give a little talk down at the campus of University of Wisconsin. What is it, Clearwater, Whitewater? What is it, Kathy?
Well,
Whitewater.
Whitewater.
That's
Whitewater
there
campus.
There are a lot of University of Wisconsins in the state.
Yeah, that's true.
In any case, Mike, this is actually my first time calling in here, sir, but I've listened since you started late August of 2004.
Uh-huh.
And basically, one of the main topics tonight really moved me to finally call. Basically, I really had to think about it, and you know how you're saying about how we may just wind up having to make citizens' arrests on this administration in order to actually get something done. I think that's hitting the nail right on the head. The problem is this. We need to be realistic about it. We need to make sure that we call for volunteers to do it, but on the other hand, we need to make sure those volunteers also know what they're getting into. They may be facing Guantanamo if we're doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, that's exactly what this administration would do to somebody who would be so bold as to actually step out and step out of the line they want us all to tread and actually go right up and say, Mr. President, sir, I am placing you under citizen's arrest for violations of, you know, and you could just rattle off a whole bunch of laws if you wanted to, but make sure you had your numbers down, obviously.
Well, the only fly in that ointment, and we have a lot of lawyers who listen to this program, I think the president is immune from arrest for anything. The only way to address criminal activity of the President of the United States is through impeachment. Now, he can be sued in a civil case, and I don't understand why people from the National Lawyers Guild or one of these other activist progressive groups of lawyers, I literally don't understand why there has not been a lawsuit filed, a civil lawsuit charging this man with whatever he could. I'm sure there are lots of things he'd been charged with. Charge him with costing the American public trillions of dollars on into the future. In other words, committing fraud against us. That's, you know, that can be a civil action. I don't know why that hasn't occurred. But as far as, you know, what Jesse was writing about at TVNewsLives.org, I think he was venting his frustration. It's not a citizen's arrest. You make a move on a president of the United States, that's called a revolution.
Well, basically, it's one of those things, Mike, that I understand while it may hold no legal weight whatsoever because technically you cannot arrest a president.
Right.
The point is that if you take a look at people like the dear Coretta Scott King who's just died,
mm-hmm.
and if you look at her husband and you look at Malcolm X and the people who actually knew how to fight
right.
for something when it was worth fighting for, these are the people who the Nazis of old, when they were telling their sons and daughters, go ahead to America, they're fine, they won't kill you, they won't torture
right,
you.
Right.
These are the people that they looked up to. These are the people who were the real Americans who knew
that's
what to
true.
Do. And even
that's...
if it was going to be a futile effort, going up and trying to make a citizen's arrest on the president might actually get the point driven.
Well, it just might. Aldous, thanks for checking in. Maybe I'll see you in a couple of weeks in Madison. We'll be right back.
Lost and found and lost again. To the funny circle blue.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet. That's hard. You do regular exercise. That's harder. You even get a colonoscopy. The hardest. If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks. Now that's simple. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Like your father, like the other. You don't know me.
about 22 past the hour. A huge number of people have sent me the link, and some of you have actually sent me the picture. It's the picture from the National Guard Association of the United States where Bush gave that another one of his psycho speeches the other day. And they presented him with a bust, George W. Bush. There it is, on a faux or maybe real marble stand. And then the bust is, looks like it's cast in, I don't know, what is that, Kathy, copper or whatever. But what has folks intrigued is underneath it has his name, George W. Bush, and then it says President of the United States, 2001. And there's there's no end point. So, you know, like on a tombstone, they should have, you know, the day you were born and the day you die, right? So they should have on this, I guess, the day that Bush... He's president from 2001 through 2008, right? So the emails I've been getting are of the flavor, what does this mean? What is the National Guard trying to tell us? I don't know. Maybe what the National Guard is trying to tell us is that Bush is going to be president for life. You know, you never know.
Or that he might die in office or be impeached. You never know.
That's true. That's very true. Thank you for that little ray of sunshine, Kathy. Yeah, no. All right, back to your calls. Where are we? Gary is calling from Montclair, New Jersey. Hey, Gary.
Hi, Mike. It's great to listen to you. You speak to my rage. I'm well past the point of polite discussion.
Oh, man, do I hear that. Yeah.
And there's so many things to talk about. But a previous caller put me in mind of... when he talked about the Nazis, I can't watch this gang, but that I think of pre-war Germany. Rove is our Goebbels, and he's playing this population like a fiddle, and brings together another thought of mine. When truth and evidence no longer mean anything, you know, it's all out there. It was all out there before the last election. It wasn't hidden in some obscure graduate seminar in political science. It was out there. It was even in movie form, if you couldn't read, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he still got back in. Just about half this population still thought he was a good idea.
Yeah,
and,
it's
you know,
incredible.
When truth and evidence no longer mean anything, what's left? What happens next? You know, and I just, is it civil war, you know? What do you have to do?
Well, either that or total submission to the power that refuses to listen and has the power necessary to subdue everyone else into a posture of obedience, I guess. I mean, it's one thing to talk about uprising or refusal to go along with the program. It's something else, again, to actually see that happen, especially in this country. I don't think that the majority of people in this country want to see that happen. I know I don't.
No.
I want to see that. I'm sure you don't.
I don't advocate it either.
Right. The legal and peaceful transition of power. What has happened has happened. The Bush crime family is destroying this country. If there's some way that some Republicans can join with some courageous Democrats, if and there are a few left, to kind of put the brakes on this son of a bitch until at least the next election, and hoping that this is all pipe dream. You know, a pipe dream has to do with smoking opium through a pipe. You know, pipe dream, a fantasy that the next election will somehow be legitimate and will get rid of this scum and get them out of this out of the governance of this country. Now, the other side of that pipe dream, that opium-induced hallucination, is that no. That's not going to happen, that this is going to continue. And at that point, I think if there is not what is perceived to be a fair election or no election at all, then I think people will do what folks have done. We've seen it in certain places in Central Europe and the old Soviet Union, where people just show up and after an election and say, no, this election was rigged. We're not going to tolerate it. We're not moving. So I don't know. Of course, Bush would be like the leaders in China with the Tiananmen Square demonstrators. They will fire on their own citizens, and Bush will do that in a heartbeat. He doesn't give a damn. He couldn't care less.
2,000 to their death for no reason but his own aggrandizement.
That's true. That's true.
What will he not do?
I know. I know. It's unbelievable stuff. Gary, thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. We'll be back and into our reading tonight of 1984. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay.
In time, time, time.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-223-7979 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-223-7979. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-223-7979. Offer not available in Nevada.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
We'll be right back.
about 26 before the hour. Got an email here from Bruce. Is it from Bruce? Mike, this is regarding the lawsuit for action in office. Mike, the Supreme Court ruled Clinton could only be sued for actions prior to taking office. That was why they scoured Arkansas at a cost of $40 million taxpayer dollars to find some trailer trash who would sue. They could then depose Clinton and perjury trap him. You can bet the Supreme Court would rule just the opposite today. Okay, thank you for the correction, because I just am not clear on that. I guess the president is totally immune during the time, for any action he takes during the time he is president, except for impeachment. That's the only thing that is available is impeachment. So thanks for the clarification there, Bruce. When we left Winston last night, he was thinking about how the history has been changed in Oceania, how it doesn't make any difference what happened. You can never be sure. The memory is something that is very elusive, if it existed at all. And then he kind of slips into wondering about, he's talking about the purges, how people who made an effort against Big Brother were disappeared. The purges that occurred in the 70s. And in a lot of instances, these men who were labeled as traitors would then be released. Among the last survivors were three men named Jones, Aronson, and Rutherford. Sometime after their release, Winston had actually seen all three of them in the Chestnut Tree Cafe. He remembered the sort of terrified fascination with which he had watched them out of the corner of his eye. They were men far older than himself, relics of the ancient world, almost the last great figures left over from the heroic days of the party. The glamour of the underground struggle and the Civil War still faintly clung to them. He had the feeling, though already at that time facts and dates were growing blurry, that he had known their names years earlier than he had known that of Big Brother. But also they were outlaws, enemies, untouchables, doomed with absolute certainty to extinction within a year or two. No one who had fallen into the hands of the Thought Police ever escaped in the end. They were corpses waiting to be sent back to the grave. There was no one at any of the tables nearest to them. It was not even wise to be seen in the neighborhood of such people. They were sitting in silence before glasses of the gin flavored with cloves, which was the specialty of the cafe. Of the three, it was Rutherford whose appearance had most impressed Winston. Rutherford had once been a famous caricaturist whose brutal cartoons had helped to inflame popular opinion before and during the Revolution. Even now, at long intervals, his cartoons were appearing in the Times. They were simply an imitation of his earlier manner, and curiously lifeless and unconvincing. Always they were a rehashing of the ancient themes: slum tenements, starving children, street battles, capitalists in top hats. Even on the barricades, the capitalists still seemed to cling to their top hats, an endless, hopeless effort to get back into the past. He was a monstrous man with a mane of greasy gray hair, his face pouched and seamed with thick lips. At one time he must have been immensely strong. Now his great body was sagging, sloping, bulging, falling away in every direction. He seemed to be breaking up before one's eyes like a mountain crumbling. It was the lonely hour of 15. Winston could not now remember how he had come to be in the cafe at such a time. The place was almost empty. A tinny music was trickling from the telescreens. The three men sat in their corner almost motionless, never speaking. Uncommanded, the waiter brought fresh glasses of gin. There was a chessboard on the table beside them with the pieces set out, but no game started. And then, for perhaps half a minute in all, something happened to the telescreens. The tune that they were playing changed, and the tone of the music changed, too. There came into it, but it was something hard to describe. It was a peculiar, cracked, braying, jeering note. In his mind, Winston called it a yellow note. And then a voice from the telescreen was singing, "Under the spreading chestnut tree, I sold you and you sold me. There lie they, and here lie we, under the spreading chestnut tree. The three men never stirred, but when Winston glanced again at Rutherford's ruinous face, he saw that his eyes were full of tears, and for the first time he noticed with a kind of inward shudder, and yet not knowing at what he shuddered, that both Aronson and Rutherford had broken noses. A little later, all three were rearrested. It appeared that they had engaged in fresh conspiracies from the very moment of their release. At their second trial, they confessed to all their old crimes over again, with a whole string of new ones. They were executed, and their fate was recorded in the party histories, a warning to posterity. About 5 years after this, in 1973, Winston was unrolling a wad of documents which had just flopped out of the pneumatic tube on his desk when he came on a fragment of paper which had evidently been slipping in, had been slipped in among the others and then forgotten. The instant he had flattened it out, he saw its significance. It was a half page torn out of the Times of about 10 years earlier, the top half of the page, so that it included the date, and it contained a photograph of the delegates at some party function in New York. Prominent in the middle of the group were Jones, Aronson, and Rutherford. There was no mistaking them, and in any case, their names were in the caption at the bottom. The point was that at both trials, all three men had confessed that on that date, they had been on Eurasian soil. They had flown from a secret airfield in Canada to a rendezvous somewhere in Siberia and had conferred with members of the Eurasian General Staff, to whom they had betrayed important military secrets. The date had stuck in Winston's memory because it chanced to be Midsummer Day. But the whole story must be on record in countless other places as well. There was only one possible conclusion. The confessions were lies. Of course, this was not in itself a discovery. Even at that time, Winston had not imagined that the people who were wiped out in the purges had actually committed the crimes that they were accused of, but this was concrete evidence. It was a fragment of the abolished past, like a fossil bone which turns up in the wrong stratum and destroys a geological theory. It was enough to blow the party to atoms if in some way it could have been published to the world and its significance made known. He had gone straight on working. As soon as he saw what the photograph was and what it meant, he had covered it up with another sheet of paper. Luckily, when he unrolled it, it had been upside down from the point of view of the telescreen. He took his scribbling pad on his knee and pushed back his chair so as to get as far away from the telescreen as possible. To keep your face expressionless was not difficult, and even your breathing could be controlled with an effort, but you could not control the beating of your heart, and the telescreen was quite delicate enough to pick it up. He let what he judged to be 10 minutes go by, tormented all the while by the fear that some accident, a sudden draft blowing across his desk, for instance, would betray him. Then, without uncovering it again, he dropped the photograph into the memory hole, along with some other waste papers. Within another minute, perhaps, it would have crumbled into ashes. That was 10, 11 years ago. Today, probably, he would have kept that photograph. It was curious that the fact of having held it in his fingers seemed to him to make a difference even now, when the photograph itself, as well as the event it recorded, was only memory. Was the party's hold upon the past less strong, he wondered, because a piece of evidence which existed no longer had once existed? But today, supposing that it could be somehow resurrected from its ashes, the photograph might not even be evidence. Already at the time when he made his discovery, Oceania was no longer at war with Eurasia, and it must have been to the agents of East Asia that the three dead men had betrayed their country. Since then, there had been other changes, two, three, he could not remember how many. Very likely, the confessions had been rewritten and rewritten until the original facts and dates no longer had the smallest significance. The past not only changed, but changed continuously. What most afflicted him with the sense of nightmare was that he had never clearly understood why the huge imposture was undertaken. The immediate advantage of falsifying the past were obvious, but the ultimate motive was mysterious. He took up his pen again and wrote, "I understand how, I do not understand why." He wondered, as he had many times wondered before, whether he himself was a lunatic. Perhaps a lunatic was simply a minority of one. At one time, it had been a sign of madness to believe that the earth goes around the sun. Today, to believe that the past is unalterable. He might be alone in holding that belief, and if alone, then a lunatic. But the thought of being a lunatic did not greatly trouble him. The horror was that he might also be wrong. He picked up the children's history book and looked at the portrait of Big Brother, which formed its frontispiece. The hypnotic eyes gazed into his own. It was as though some huge force were pressing down upon you, something that penetrated inside your skull, battering against your brain, frightening you out of your beliefs, persuading you almost to deny the evidence of your senses. In the end, the party would announce that 2 and 2 made 5, and you would have to believe it. It was inevitable that they should make that claim sooner or later. The logic of their position demanded it.
Come and make a maze, the color of the day. Lost and torn and worn to tears, I'm trying to stay awake. Who is it that allows the global pillage that you seek? The blind will only shine in the light of everyone can meet me halfway sane.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet. That's hard. You do regular exercise. That's harder. You even get a colonoscopy. The hardest. If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. Now that's simple. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
For all those things you no longer need,
I sold it.
Bring them to I Sold It, the number one seller on eBay, with hundreds of drop-off stores nationwide.
I sold it.
Our trained staff will photograph your item, create a great eBay listing, collect payment, then pack and ship. You just cash the check.
I sold it.
Stop by or call for a free eBay appraisal. It's easy and there's no charge if it doesn't sell.
I sold it.
I sold it, the easy way to sell on eBay. To reach an I Sold It store, call 877-I-SOLD-IT. Toll free, 877-I-SOLD-IT. Franchises available.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to the crew. Our program was engineered tonight in New York by Justin Yuen and AAR's resident rock star, Jason Isaac. D. Neal is our associate producer and handled the phone calls tonight. Thanks to Kevin Kinney and Driving and Crying for the music tonight. Also, our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, our webmaster, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch of WhiteRoseSociety.org, who continues to archive the program and make it available to you. He's in the middle of a fundraising drive. If you go to White Rose and you haven't contributed any money, throw a couple of bucks his way. It doesn't take much if everybody throws a couple. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Thanks to everybody. Still time for a couple more calls. How about Paul, who's calling from Atlanta? Paul, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I don't know how this quite relates to some of the stuff you're talking about tonight, but oh well.
Okay.
I'm on a committee with the Georgia Coalition for Peace and Justice, and we are trying to get the word out about April 1st. We're having a big regional march and rally in Atlanta for the third anniversary of the Iraq War. And just trying to get the word out about that. I think it's going to be good. We're communicating with a lot of other organizations around the Southeast, trying to make it a regional thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's very, I don't know. It's nice. It's very satisfying because, you know, this there's so many things that are so incredibly frustrating about the Bush administration and the world in general, and it's nice to have something that you feel that you can do and, give other people something to actively do, because I know it can be, hard not feeling like, you feel so helpless.
Mm-hmm. How do people find out about this? Do you have a website?
It's the main group organizing it is the Georgia Coalition for Peace and Justice, and their website is georgiapeace.org. And they have more information about it there. The basic thing is it's just people are going to meet at the King Center, or outside the King Center, let me see, at noon or something on the 1st. And there's going to be a short set of speakers there, not much. It's mainly just going to be the point to gather. And then there's going to be the march, which is going to end at Piedmont Park. Around 2 or so. And then there's going to be more speakers and trying to get music performers from the South and the nation in general who are politically active. So it's looking to be really good, I think.
All right, it's georgiapeace.org.
Yes.
And it's planned for April 1st.
April 1st. And if you have any questions about it, there's a phone number and an email address. The email address is April 1st March 1st. Spelled out as not one ST,
right.
At yahoo.com.
Okay. The phone number, if it's on the website, let people pick it up off the website. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's April 1st. Now, what's the email?
April 1st March at yahoo.com.
April 1st March at yahoo.com. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
For people who have questions.
Questions and stuff like that. And the website has a lot more details about it. And, it's great. We've got all sorts of endorsements from local action groups, political action groups, social action groups, churches even, all kinds of stuff. It's looking to be really good.
And
they're hoping for a turnout of, I think, something like 10,000 people maybe even.
And it's an end-the-war rally?
Yeah.
Okay.
The tagline for it is Southern Regional March for Peace in Iraq and Justice at Home.
All right, well, maybe...
Just peace in Iraq, civil and human rights, people before profits, that kind of thing.
maybe before the event, we can have somebody on from that organization and have them talk about it a little bit.
That's one of the things we've discussed is trying to get, I think we're talking about trying to get PSAs on Air America as well, or at least, you know, the Air Atlanta station. That kind of thing too.
Well, send us some information or a contact person, Mike.
Yeah,
at, just send it to mike@mikemalloy.com, and
sure.
And Kathy will be more than happy to book somebody on to talk about it. Okay.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot for checking in, Paul. I appreciate it. Bob is calling from Connecticut. Bob, we only have about a minute, but here you are.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
Well, basically, I just want to say that, you know, one of the problems I have with, well, it's not that I have a problem, because me, I'm a Democrat like you are and stuff like that, but generally, I keep getting told that Democrats don't have a plan and stuff.
And that's not true. Our plan is justice, peace, jobs, health care.
Right.
It's just that our leaders...
But it just doesn't get out there because...
Well, I know. It's because...
We're always fighting against all the bad plans from the Republicans.
Well, I think also the Democratic leadership hasn't learned a very essential fact about America. We've got to have things in very small bites, very small doses. We can't have a lot of intellectualization. Americans can't. The Republicans figured this out 20 years ago. They keep everything short. Abortion, no. Why do you hate America? Support the troops. You know,
well, that's it. I mean, they broke it down to simple things, but it's... It seems like, yeah, I guess like what you're saying, is that the Democrats
need to
do all too many different things.
Right. That's what the Democrats need to do. Bob, I have to leave it there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Have a good weekend. Everybody have a good weekend. Thanks for participating in the program this week. I do appreciate it. I'll see you Monday night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
On Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.